Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the IDEA podcast, brought to you by the Irish Development Education Association. I'm your host, Maximiliana Mtenga. Today, we are having a conversation about adult learning spaces and global citizenship education. How can social justice be promoted within the adult education sector? We will explore how global citizenship education can empower adults to contribute to a more equitable and just society. Joining us is our esteemed guest, Dr. Lilian Nwanze Akobo, an educator and advocate for social justice in adult education. Dr. Lilian has a PhD in adult and community education and is a co-founder of the Higher Diploma in Further Education program at Maynooth University. She uses her professional and academic and lived experiences to contribute to adult and community education in Ireland and is particularly passionate about making classrooms more inclusive for people on the margins. Thank you so much for accepting our invitation to participate on this IDEA podcast edition.
Thank you so much, Maximiliana. It's my pleasure to be here.
So to start our conversation, can you tell us about how you got involved in adult and community education in Ireland and why it's so important to you?
Okay, so thank you again for having me on the podcast. For me, adult education, I think I can say confidently, chose me and not the other way around. You see, I migrated from Nigeria many years ago, about 12 or 13 years ago. And in Nigeria, I had trained and practiced as a barrister and a solicitor for very many years before I came into Ireland. So I have attended various educational institutions and there was so much pride in me about my success in those institutions. So I came to Ireland and completed my master's degree in law and found out that no matter how hard I knocked, setting doors of employment just never opened. So it was a very harrowing and frustrating period of my life because I had come from very high professional success in Nigeria to join my husband here. And I expected, like in most parts of the world, I would immediately get a job and put myself to some use in my new home. But I was unpleasantly shocked and surprised because this was not going to be, I found. So after trying for a year or two to get the kind of work I thought I could do, I gave up. Now, I often tell people that Ireland brought me to a level of lowness that I never knew existed. I didn't get diagnosed with clinical depression, but I often felt that way. Anyway, I found that there was a need in my local community in Navan. The African kids were not doing very well in Leaving Cert maths. And I saw the parents reaching out. They needed people to teach grinds. Now, I'm a lawyer. I don't really like maths, but I just felt, well, this is a need in the community. So I bought the Leaving Cert books, studied for them, and I started with one African kid. And before you knew it, I had people coming from other towns and other. So I did that for about 2 years. So two streams of Leaving Cert students. And then I said, I better just get qualified to do what it is I was doing. Now, remember, when I came to Ireland, I had done my master's, so I wasn't unaccustomed to education in Ireland. So I went to Maynooth University for the Higher Diploma in Further Education, and I found a type of education that I had never experienced before. So up until that time, the professors knew everything, the teachers knew everything, like they came into the classroom, they had no business with the lives of the people they were teaching, just imparted knowledge, so to speak, and left. But I came into this new environment. It was a critical kind of education, laced with love, laced with care, laced with an intention to respond to different identities in the group, but also very rigorous, very scholarly. And I had never known anything like this. And so it just became clear to me that this is where I wanted to spend the rest of my life. And so that is how I got introduced to adult education. Now, for most people in adult education in Ireland, this is not a normal route. So most people would have known about it. It was very strange to me. It was very disorientating to me. But once I settled into it, I knew that this was the kind of education that I wanted to do. It was the kind of education I wanted to be in. So my story in adult ed is a bit funny. I stumbled, or it found me rather than me really finding it. But I haven't looked back since then, because it was a powerful experience for me. And for the first time in Ireland, I belonged somewhere. The teachers were able to form community in the classroom, and I could see how powerful that was. And that is how I got into adult education, Maximiliana.
Wow, what a story. I think that was very interesting to hear, to be honest. Seeing the lows and the highs at the same time, I think that is very interesting. So adding to that then, in your experience working with adult learners, why do you think it is important to making the classroom more inclusive in adult education programs, especially here in Ireland? We know that diversity and inclusion is always an issue, not only here, even just outside of Ireland. So why do you think it is important for there to be inclusion in the classroom?
My answer to this will be very simple. If we don't focus on inclusion, we will be failing a lot of people in our learning spaces. Now, I was at a function 2 days ago, and I watched a graphic harvester create amazing art while people were speaking. Her attention to detail, even while drawing, was amazing. And I went over to her afterwards, when I finished speaking, to just commend her work. And she said, "This is my own form of communication. When I see you speak with the microphone," she said to me, "I could never replicate that, but I can draw." And as she spoke, it struck me that that's the picture of a learning space. If I design my teaching and my assessment only for people who learn by drawing, I'll be excluding those who do not learn that way. If I design my teaching and assessment for only those who can speak fluently, I exclude and automatically fail this amazing lady who may not be able to speak as eloquently as I can, but can draw in ways that I never can. So inclusion is vital. I was at a session with Stephen Brookfield, and I know I had sent you an email about this. Now, Stephen is one of the most prolific, renowned professors in the field of adult education in the world. And I mean that, in the whole world. And he started his presentation by telling us how he had failed his Leaving Cert, failed his master's, failed at many other things because he was required to write exams. Now, education at that time gave him no other means of proving that he knew what he knew. That is the problem with rigidity or a lack of inclusive thinking. Now, if Stephen hadn't met someone who took a chance on tweaking the system, the world would have been robbed of his talents today. How many Stevens have our education systems robbed us of because they were not inclusive? Now, let's delve into race, which I love to talk about. A lot of our education in Ireland is white, is Eurocentric, no materials that reflect the knowledge of minoritized categories of people, no reference to them, no framing in a way that a person from a different cultural context will understand. Are we not structurally excluding people as a result? No teachers from minoritized backgrounds who understand the culture and the nuances that exist with students who share similar ethnic origins. Now, without all levels of inclusion, not just ways of learning or assessment, but race, ethnicity, Maximiliana, we continue to fail millions of people all over the world and thousands here in Ireland, calling them failures because they are being judged by parameters that do not in fact apply to them. I read a saying once, it said, "A fish will always be judged to be stupid if it is examined on its ability to climb a tree." I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's very inspirational. What you just spoke, I can relate to it in so many ways. And I can only imagine how many people really are being left behind just because the society is not inclusive enough. The education system is not inclusive enough. And there's only a little that the government itself is doing in terms of supporting maybe funding and stuff like that. So I think you really have like strong points on that regard. Now, as someone who has been actively engaging in various adult education projects, how do you think this project can contribute to tackling the root causes of injustice and inequality globally and locally?
Again, thank you. I'm resisting the urge to say thank you after every question. But injustice and inequality, I think, are very intentional outcomes of a designed capitalist world. I think that that is usually the starting point for me. And even in my classes, I make sure I start from a historical perspective of some of what is plaguing the world today. We speak a lot about racism, for instance. Where did it come from? Racism was an intentional project perpetuated by Europeans many years ago in order to consolidate on a barbaric wealth creation scheme that started even long before the transatlantic slavery. So for me, I like to go back before I go forward. And the reason I do that is to show that these things are intentional and that all of us in the world have been socialized into seeing the order of things as normal. The media, education, government discourse, everything promotes a particular narrative. And my first job as an adult educator is to guide people into seeing this. So first, I think for educators themselves, there is a need to understand the terrain they are coming into. So before trying to save any other person, try to understand yourself that much of what we're fighting against is so designed. We are fighting against a system that has been designed to do exactly what it is doing. And then we, as educators, after understanding that, we should try to design a process to bring people into this realization. So after we've come into the realization, make sure you bring your learners into that realization in some shape or form. I also think educators need to understand the local context. So I have talked globally now, for instance, about racism. And racism is a global phenomenon, for instance, but there are particular ways that it exhibits itself in different territories. And in Ireland, there are particular ways that we are dealing with it. And so I think we need to really reflect on the local context, understand it. Right, I've got a hang of the global and historical perspective, but what is going on here? How and why are things playing out the way they are? And usually it is the same forces at play, but educators may need to apply a different framing to be able to communicate better to their learners or facilitate their learners to understand this. And then only after we've done that mapping of global, of local, can we now help people with tools to dismantle the manifestations of these injustices at different levels, the micro, the macro, and the meso. So injustices and inequality are largely structural, and dealing with these structural things can be very paralyzing. So what I usually focus on, and I know a lot of theorists kick back against this, is I focus on the little. What are the littles you can do? Because if Maximilian, I tell you, oh, this is a project that has been in the world for 500 years, how do you dismantle that? But there are ways you can dismantle things in the day-to-day, in your own classroom, in your own learning spaces with your own learners. So after understanding the bigger picture, equip people with the tools that they need to dismantle these things in the day-to-day, because everything that goes on in society is replicated in every space where human beings are. So if people are sitting in a classroom, if there is racism outside, racism is inside. If there's patriarchy outside, patriarchy seeps inside, because the learning spaces are but a microcosm of the bigger society. So once you can interrupt things in smaller spaces is what I am saying. So I honestly can't even remember the question and how I got here, but I hope I've made some sense to you.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think we were discussing about how to tackle the root causes of injustice. And I think you said it very clearly that we can start small, like changing the things around us at our homes and then at our society and then at institution level. So I think you said that very clearly. So how can now educators position themselves to take more action to understanding the connection that exists among the different categories of people across the globe? Because I think as much as there is a lot of connection nowadays because of science and technology, they call it globalization. But it's like we are totally disconnected. That's why there is war. We are fighting. We don't include one another. How can this be tackled by using like education, especially in the adult community learning spaces?
Thanks, Maximiliana. And just as you were talking there, I just said, oh my God, how true is this? The time when the world has been so connected by internet, but yet we are so divided, and it is so fascinating. I think in response to that, what I will say, I think I will quote from Paulo Freire. I'm leaning on his arguments. And I think Paulo Freire wrote about reading the world rather than reading the word. And there's a lot of context to that, but now I'm going to adapt it to this question. I think that if educators will position themselves to understand more, because I hear you, I do think educators need to understand it. Part of what I write about is the need to create community in the classroom. If educators will understand that, I think we need to think about 3 hours. Reading the world, like Paulo Freire said, but also reading the word and reflection. And I'll talk about these 3 hours. So reading the world. How do you see the world yourself as an educator? Or let me bring it into the learning space. How do you read the world of your own learning space? Who is in your learning space? Are you coming into your own learning space and just teaching as though everyone is the same? Because the best educators I have spoken to tell me, oh, I treat all my students the same. Problematic, because all your students are not the same. So are you really able to read the world of your learning space? That should be the first. And how do you really read that world? A world with different kinds of people. You listen to stories. Stories connect us and make visible the invisible thread of humanity that binds all of us together, whether dominant or minoritized. So I really do feel that adult educators are at a point where they can make a difference, because you come into the world and adult education spaces are the most diverse spaces in Ireland right now. All sorts of people from all over the world, migrant, non-migrant, second generation, whatever label you like, those kinds of people are in the classroom. How are you reading your classroom? You can't come in as an educator, as a white Irish educator, and just say, look, because I'm a person of love, I treat everybody the same. No, read the world of the classroom, but also read the word, read theory, read how people are dealing with this in other parts, read the stories people are telling. So you might not have a certain category of people in your class, but read about them. So read the world, read the word, and then reflect. There has to be a lot of self-reflection. What am I not seeing? As long as you're human, you will have a blind spot. When I stand as an African migrant woman, there are ways my vision goes. But in reflection, I'm able to, and again, I would draw from Stephen Brookfield, who says, you can't be reflecting and just be thinking only about what you think. Reflect asking people what they think. Reflect with your colleagues. Reflect with multiracial. So I am an African. I work with an Irish man. We do cross-racial reflections. Things he doesn't see, things I don't see. Do these kind of things. This is the way you read the world, but also read the word of theory. A lot has been written about this. So read it and then use stories. I think storytelling is such a powerful tool that adult educators can use to not only build connection, but build empathy. When people tell you, oh, I'm going through X, Y, Z, things you have never seen before, empathy is born in your heart. So use those stories within your classrooms to build community. See the differences and take advantage of those differences. I remember in a class where I had someone with a previous conviction, I had someone from a minoritized ethnic background. And when they started sharing their stories, it was very easy. Even though the person with a previous conviction was a white person and the person that from minoritized ethnic background wasn't, their challenges were very similar. And how did we come to that? I allowed stories to be told in the class. So those stories then built mutual empathy one to another, a connectedness started to happen. So we're not waiting for the internet here. We're using the human notions of empathy and compassion, but we have to do it skillfully using stories. So read the word, read the world, and then reflect is what I would say.
Fantastic, Dr. Lillian. So now when you are speaking, I was just trying to reflect in terms of the realities of life outside the classroom then, because while educators are trying their level best to make sure that they are impacting their learners with the correct knowledge, with reflection and all the methods that you said, but when they go out of classroom then, they find so many challenges that are conflicting with what they have learned in the class. For example, they will find people protesting, saying, we don't need anyone in our country. We want our country. We don't want you migrants. We want nothing to do with you guys. So imagine you are in your class, you have the knowledge that you have, and you are teaching the right thing, the right way. But then when they go out in the world, they experience different challenges and different ideologies. So how do we make sure that educators in adult and learning spaces also understand those kind of challenges, and how can they tackle those kind of challenges if they encounter them?
So thank you. You make a good point. Now, you seem to think that some of the people who are in those protests are not in the learning spaces. Some of them are absolutely in the learning spaces. I absolutely have taught people who are in the anti-immigration protest and will say vocally to me as an educator that I want you out of my country. Not once, not twice. So I'm just saying, first of all, don't assume that, and I get that assumption a lot, that all the people there are unenlightened people who don't know. Not really. Like, I have had people in the learning spaces. I keep coming back to the classroom again because, and I think I said it when I spoke at the conference, that I speak from a very particular lens. This is what I do in Ireland. So my learning space is my canvas. And the way I see it is that that there is a ripple effect in society. Now, the work I do is very slow, and it's a very hopeless kind of work because you often don't see results really quickly. It is slow, but I'm trusting the process. I'm trusting that as people shift, the shift will happen also in the society. I think that a lot of what is going on now in Ireland can be tackled through community education. Community education is one of the most powerful forms of education because they understand consciousness raising kind of education, where you teach people, again, going back to what I said about the historical structures in the society, but then empower them to dismantle it and take their own lives in their hands. Now, what is happening with a lot of the anti-immigration protests and things, which is why I keep going back to history, it's not new. These powers pit disadvantaged groups against one another. Ireland has had a housing crisis for over 20 years. There has been a housing crisis. Now, the powers that be pit migrants against, or pit the people in lower socioeconomic categories against migrants as though they are the ones causing the problem. Ireland has had the problem even before migrants started to come in. So the real issue is not the housing crisis, it's the people who are standing and are very happy that people are fighting themselves without looking at the actual issue and dismantling the real issue. The government isn't fixing things and is letting people fight. I'm not castigating any government. I'm just saying this is the way it has been for years. I write, and I think her name is Emma Dabiri. Emma Dabiri has a very tiny book. I think the name of the book is What Can White People Do Next or something, where she traces how racism was born. Very succinctly, exactly the same thing. Two groups were put against each other, and that is how racism was born, for the interest of an invisible other group. So I do think community education has a place to play. Consciousness raising, if there is funding, pushing out the right information to counter misinformation, because recently there has been a rise in misinformation. A lot of lies just being told and no one is fact checking, and it is stroking the fires of instability, basically, in the community. I do think community education, where we can meet the grassroots people, do real consciousness raising education, not sitting down and asking people, let people start from where they are at and equip them with tools to think critically about the structures and systems in societies and how it affects them, I think we will have a breakthrough in Ireland. This is what I think.
Yeah, thank you very much, Dr. Lilia. And finally, as we are closing our conversation, could you share your thoughts on the future of adult and community education and how it can shape global citizenship education sector moving forward?
Okay, so my hopes for the future of adult and community education is that we will go back to the basics. When I read about the history of adult and community education, it's a history of activism against oppression. We seem to be losing the plot. There seems to be this neoliberalization agenda, and we are moving towards almost normal mainstream education. Adult education and community education have never and will never and should never just become regular education. I think we should stop and start to look back to what the founders and the initial thinkers started to think about before this body of education was born. This is my hope for the future of adult ed. In terms of global citizenship education, and I think I shared in the conference, I also hope that global citizenship education will not just become a buzzword, that it will be mainstreamed into everything that we are doing, so that it won't just be a subject. Oh, on Tuesday at 2 p.m., we have global citizenship education. That's problematic. Let's mainstream it into everything we are doing in adult and community education, and indeed in any kind of education, so that whether it is rocket science that is being taught, the ethos of global citizenship education is filtering in. If it is mathematics, if it is communications, if it's an apprenticeship course, whatever it is that we are doing, the basics of equity, justice, fairness, kindness, love, and everything global citizenship education stands for will filter in. So I'm also hoping for a mainstreaming of global citizenship education, that it won't be timetabled to one day of the week or 2 days of the week, that it will be the custom, the tradition of our institutions, of our teachers, of everything, that it will get into the fabric of things so that we will truly see change at a pace that will bring hope to some of us.
Thank you so much, Dr. Lillian, for all of your insights. And thank you so much for accepting our invitation to participate on this IDEA podcast edition. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Maximiliana.
Many thanks for listening to this latest edition of the IDEA podcast, the National Network for Development and Global Citizenship Education in Ireland. You can learn more about IDEA by visiting www.ideaonline.ie. This episode is funded by the Irish Aid at the Department of Foreign Affairs. Irish Aid is government's overseas development program. Irish Aid also supports global citizenship education in Ireland to encourage learners and public engagement with global issues. The ideas, opinions, and comments herein are entirely the responsibility of the Irish Development Education Association and do not necessarily represent or reflect the Department of Foreign Affairs policy.